and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. We are delighted to have Kieran Gibbs with us in the studio tonight. We have Stevie Nicol back as well and Shaka Hislop. Just happy about these two.
I don't go too overboard on me and Shaq.
It is a big weekend of action, especially in cup action. It is the Manchester Derby in the FA Cup final coming up this weekend. They're meeting in this final for the first ever time. City on course for the treble. United out to take another cup trophy this season. Let's hear from both managers though ahead of the game, starting with Pep Guardiola, who says anything can happen in a final.
It's a football game. Finals is how you will be that moment, the 90 minutes. It's not what you have done in the past, how good you are or not good you are. It's how you perform individually as a team and all the details during these 90, 95 minutes. The finals is that. It's not important. So what we have done in the past or years ago is one game. In the Premier League, we were better than them. Not this season, so many, many years. So about one game is one game. So I have to do our best version to be our best to beat them.
We want to win. We want to win a cup. And it's not about stopping them. It is about that we win, a cup. We have a great opportunity.
Let's now welcome in Ian Dark as well. Ian, great to have you with us. Let's talk a little bit about Ten Hag saying that it's not about stopping City in their tracks. They want to win as well. Of course they do, but it's got to be an added motivation for his players.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think you've got to understand that the wider story of the Manchester Derby, I mean, it's amazing that they've never met in an FA Cup final. But when you think of it, in the Sir Alex Ferguson years, United were way, way ahead of Manchester City. They were playing in the third tier, for goodness sake, at one stage. It's all turned around, of course, in the last decade. And it's United, although they still have the fame and they're rich and world famous. But it's Manchester City who are producing the results and winning titles on the pitch far more now. So United, it means a lot to them, I think. Whatever Erik ten Hag says, their fans, they want to stop Manchester City emulating their 1999 treble. So that is a factor, I think, for the fans more than the players. I think it'll be quite a tight game. I mean, United, they lost 6-3 in the first meeting this season. The second game, though, United scored a couple of late goals and beat City 2-1. OK, that was very controversial offside one. But, you know, they kept a clean sheet too against Brighton in the semi. They're primed for this. I see City maybe prevailing, but maybe after extra time.
United really want this one, Kieran, given the fact as well, especially that it's against Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as far as FA Cup finals go, this is right up there. You know, two Manchester juggernauts going at it. And there's just a lot on the line for both teams. But I think for Ten Hag, especially, I mean, you know, if he manages to win this, he's nicked two trophies and made the top four this season. So I think with that in mind, he'll be raring to go for this one.
They did do it, as Darkie said, in January. They've beaten them already this year.
And it's one game. Listen, if we analyse the two teams properly, then you cannot come out and say to Manchester United are going to win. You can't. But the fact is that Pep's right. It's one game. Yes, they've beaten them before. And for me, this is a free hit for United. I don't think MD thinks United are favourites to win this game. And if they don't win this game, it's, well, they are playing against Man City, who could and maybe will get the treble this year. So I think this is a free run for United. Doesn't mean I think United's going to win, but I just think that it could be tighter than we think.
A free hit, Shaka.
Absolutely it is. Listen, I think Manchester United have exceeded all expectations, or maybe to the point, Erik ten Hag has exceeded all expectations given the start he had to this season. As Kieran said, he's already got silverware in the trophy cabinet, finished top four, and now a one-off game against Manchester City to stop them from equaling their record of the treble in that 98-99 season. I don't think the motivations for Manchester United get any bigger. Given that treble, given the fact that it's a final, it's a derby, and then kind of given the contrasting styles of these two teams. Manchester City want to control the ball, have possession, they play up the park. And I think Manchester United, when they've shown themselves at their best, are a very good counter-attacking team. So that kind of plays off against each other. And as everybody keeps saying, it's a one-off game. it's 90 minutes or 120 minutes, whatever it may take. So it's far more difficult to call, far more difficult than the odds would suggest, what, 2-7 for Manchester City. As much as I see City as favourites, and I think they win it, there's no way I see them as 2-7 favourites on. Not against this version of United, not with everything at stake.
Ian, no Anthony Martial, no Anthony either. How do you see United lining up?
Well, I'll be intrigued to see what the lineup is. I wonder whether he might find a role for Fred, who hasn't started that much. He did in the last game. That is a lineup that I've given, but I'm thinking he probably won't pick Garnacho. But you know, United are not going to have a lot of the ball, as the guys have been saying there, and they're going to have to do it, if they do it, with very quick counter-attacks. And that will involve Fernandes getting on the ball and quickly getting Rashford and maybe Garnacho if he plays, and Sancho into attacking areas. So that is the way United will have to do it. I'd tend to take a punt myself if I was Erik ten Hag on Garnacho, because he could trouble the City defenders. But I have a hunch he may play Fred instead and look to just have an extra man biting into the challenges and breaking up City's play in the middle of the pitch.
Kieran, do you think Martial and Antony will be a miss in this side for this game?
I do, but like he said, I think that they're not going to have much of the ball anyway. And the problem with City is that, you know, the room for error is just so small. I recall the Arsenal game at the Etihad, and they've launched the ball from pretty much their goal line, and the ball's in the back of the net within 10 seconds, you know, in the first 5 minutes, just from De Bruyne running off the midfield. And I feel like with United, that could be their biggest issue is, you know, if you switch off for 1 second, you're going to get punished. And I think that United, they have that in their locker. They have players in the team that can switch off. And I think that's going to be their biggest issue.
But to that point, I think Anthony and Martial are most guilty of switching off. And so I honestly don't see it as that being that big a miss. I've been very critical of Anthony all season long, and he's had flashes, but for me, far too inconsistent. Similarly with Martial. And if we are talking about two players, if we're talking about players not switching off for that 90 or 120 minutes, if we're talking about players who you know are going to do that job defensively, coming back from attacking positions, I'm not sure that those are the two players you rely on. And so, again, given the opposition, if we were talking about somebody else up against Manchester United, maybe I'd say something different about those two players missing. But given that it's City, given what we expect from them, I don't see them as being a big miss.
They're going to need
this is a strange one.
Go on then.
Well, because I don't particularly rate Martial or Antony. I don't.
But?
But when they play, the shape of Man United is better. Man United's shape is better with Rashford on the left and Fernandes in the middle of the field. So the fact that they're not playing has got nothing to do with their particular individual form or ability. I think it's going to be the shape that's going to hurt United. Because if you've got to shove Fernandes wide and you've got to shove Rashford up the top, I think you're pushing two of your most important players out of the positions that actually make them the players they are. So for that reason, they'll miss them. Not as individuals, for the shape though, yeah.
They're going to need the absolute best version of Marcus Rashford in this game, Kieran.
He's the one that's going to, if anyone in the team is going to cause them problems, it's going to be him. He's been outstanding this season. If it wasn't for him, I don't think they would have made the top four. He's their most dangerous player by a mile, and he's going to need to be right at it to cause City any problems in this game.
Let's move on then to Manchester City, because in his presser, I want to come to you, Shaka. Pep Guardiola has said that he's going to be playing Stefan Ortega in goal. What do you think of that?
You know, I'm really torn on this, and you've seen more and more managers do that far more consistently. And I've sat here in the past and said, listen, you play one goalkeeper through the majority of the tournament or all of the tournament, you play him in the final. You reward him with that starting position in the final. I also understand the counter-argument that you play your best team. You get to the final, regardless of what went before, all that matters is winning it. I still feel that it's better, certainly for the long term, in terms of how you treat and respect players to play who got you there. And unless an injury disrupts that, I stick with Ortega.
You stick with him. There's a treble on the line, Stevie. You're shaking your head.
Absolutely. It's about winning. Listen, the coach has got a responsibility to the owners, to the club, to the fans, and to the city, but certainly the blue side of Manchester. That doesn't mean you go all soft and, well, he's played all the games, so he's going to play in the final. No, you've got to be man enough as a player when it comes to the bottom line that you're not playing because you're not the best in that position and not go in the huffy puff. The manager has to pick the best team to win the game, to win the final. 100%. There shouldn't be any discussion about this. And as I said, as upset or disappointed as Ortega might have been if he isn't playing, then you know what? You've got to take it on the chin. You know what? Get better. Get Edison out. Then he's the one that's going to be sitting. That's how it works. That's how it should work. And when it comes to a final, that's how it has to work.
Do you agree, Kieran?
I have to agree with Stevie on this one.
You don't have to. You don't have to agree.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Fullback union.
Oh, that's what it is.
The magnitude of the game is just, you know, because it's City, you don't want them lifting the treble as a United fan. And you want to play your best players. I played in the Carling Cup. It was called the Carling Cup at the time, but all the way through up until the second leg of the semi-finals, and although we lost the final, you know, he went for his strongest team. And to be honest, I have to agree, like with Steve, I had to sit there and say, okay, as a team, we want to achieve things, and he wants to play the players that have played the most minutes this season, that have got the most experience. And the team that he believes that can get the job done at that time. And so, as a player, you have to take it on the chin.
Let's talk about the City 11 then, if we can, Ian, because a week after this final, they obviously have the Champions League final coming up. Does that factor into this 11?
I think not. He gave them all a couple of days off, and I think he's got his best 11 primed to play in both of the games, goalkeeper aside. I actually tend to side with Xhaka about this. It isn't like Ortega has looked like a weak link when he's played. Here's something. We talk all about Manchester City's goals. They haven't conceded a single goal yet with Ortega in the FA Cup run this season. So he's played okay. So I don't think it's like it's a very, very weak second string. But the rest of the team, I think, will be exactly like that. And that, the 10 outfield players, are the players who played so superbly to absolutely demolish Real Madrid in that Champions League game that ended 4-0. So, I mean, you've seen Pep in the FA Cup. He takes it seriously every time. He's going to take it doubly seriously. Now it's a Manchester derby. I remember seeing one of the cup finals when they wiped out Watford 6-0 and they were ruthless.
I have to agree with Ian.
Oh, really?
That's what it is. I have to agree with Ian. See, Ian and I are the only two football romantics on this show. That's what it comes right down to.
That is what it comes down to.
But look at Mahrez, right? Mahrez scored a hat-trick in the semi-final. He's not even on the starting lineup.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't count. What does count is how you deal with Erling Haaland in this game. How are United's defence going to do that?
Good luck. I mean, you just got to hope that City, with the possession that they'll have, aren't at their best when they're looking to play them in. And you've got to hope that Haaland may not be at his best when he's played them. Because sometimes it's just impossible to keep a hold of somebody. You know, this guy is going to get chances. That's the only thing I can guarantee you about this cup final. He will get a chance at least in this game. And so you have to minimise the chances, I guess, because to stop them, you know, I could sit here all day and talk about, you know, play two against one and one in front, one behind, and you know, drop off when you have to and keep a high line when you don't have to. The problem is that involves two, three and four players, not just the two centre-backs that are going to be up against Haaland. So it's a tough, tough job United are going to have, and there just is not an easy answer. It's not a straight answer.
And to that point, you spoke about Manchester United's shape. You tried to get fancy playing up against Haaland, who, for me, is the most complete striker the Premier League has ever seen. His pace in behind, his strength, his finishing, everything. He's just as complete as this game has seen. So to Stevie's point, when you're planning out your strategy going into this game, the focus is not on Erling Haaland. It's on starving him with that supply. The trouble is, when you have the likes of Kevin De Bruyne and all that midfield that Pep Guardiola can call on, that's easier said than done. But that has to be a focus. How do you negate the effect of all whoever he calls? How do you stop them being at their best? How do you stop that service into Erling Haaland?
Is the hope for Manchester United, Kieran, that maybe Haaland will have his head in next weekend's final and not just this one?
No, Haaland's just not that guy. Mm. He's just not that guy. He's just so hungry. Every game, every minute, he is looking to score a goal. That is just, that's how he was born. He was born to do it. But yeah, Shaka's right. The supply is going to be key. You're talking about one of the most prolific strikers, you know, in the world right now. But you're also talking about some of the most prolific suppliers of the game around him, so that's why it's just going to be so difficult. I feel like United, the biggest thing that they can probably work on is the way they press from the front to actually stop it from source. But then again, you know, they can play in straight into the third line, and that's the problem you have. As soon as you try to press them and stop them from the front, you know, they have the ability to go straight up to Haaland and there's runners off of him, and it's just trouble all round. It's just trouble all round.
Meanwhile, Bruno Fernandes has been talking about the importance of winning the FA Cup and what it would mean for the side, that boost it would give them for next season.
Obviously, something that we want is to win another trophy. You know, it's important for us even to build, because we are now building something that we see it that can be special in the future. And obviously, I think if we win the FA Cup, it give you a little bit more than a lift and for going to the next season, and think that we can aim for bigger targets.
What did it mean for you, Kieran, first time you won the FA Cup?
Oh, I mean, listen, we drew against Hull in the final, and we was just shy of a decade of no trophies, so there was a lot on it, and I haven't seen these images for a long time. But yeah, I mean, listen, everyone expected us to win the game straight away, and I feel like that kind of played on the players, even in the semi-final, I think we played against Reading, and it was tough because, you know, these teams have nothing to lose, and, you know, we had a lot riding on it. It was more of a weight off of the shoulder, especially after going 2-0 down, which we made a meal of it. But I think, yeah, we couldn't really enjoy it until, well, me personally, I couldn't really enjoy it until a few days had passed. It was more of a relief than anything. And then obviously, as the further FA Cups came, could enjoy it a little bit more.
Bruno's just said there that he thinks it will help them take a next step, the next level next season, just getting this FA Cup as well under the belts. What do you think it will do for this United side if they can do that?
I think it will give them confidence, but I think the biggest thing it will probably do is give Ten Hag, you know, the respect. I mean, I think he's already got that from what he's managed to do with the team this season. I think he's squeezed out everything he can from that team. I think he doesn't have his personnel fully that he wants yet, but I think this will give him that extra amount of respect from the fans for obviously stopping City winning the treble. I think that will really cement his place, you know, from the board, from the fans, to say, okay, you know, you've turned up now. Let's see what you can do with a full pre-season, a full transfer window, another transfer window. And I really like him. So I think that Bruno's right. I think that if they win this, it will really set them up nicely for next season.
Big selling point when you're talking to any players. By the way, we won two trophies last year and we won the FA Cup final, and we beat Manchester City, who people said were the best team on the planet. This place, I mean, it's just a selling point, a huge selling point for any player that may be swaying whether it's Man United or anybody else. So it's huge.
I think to that point, you're absolutely right. I think to that point, yes, Manchester United have already won one trophy in one cup, albeit the lesser of the two in English football. And then Man City oddly got knocked out from Southampton. And I just feel that Manchester United knocking everybody's favourites out for every competition they ever seem to enter into adds to what already winning one trophy does, adds to what finishing top four already does for Manchester United. And again, just kind of shows that improvement under Ten Hag, who, I'm with Kieran, has done a wonderful job thus far. But to beat City in a final, to deny them their chance at history as well, I think ticks so many boxes for Manchester United.
Everybody's favourite, Manchester City, going into this final. I'm sure the predictions will show that as well. There we go. This is what everybody's got and how it's going to go.
There's one exception.
Once again, standing alone. Come on, Manchester United.
Why?
Last time I did that, it worked out okay, I'll have you know.
For who?
For who, yeah.
For Manchester United. That didn't win anybody, though. This is how you guys see it going. You can catch it this weekend on ESPN+. The guys will be back with you for a big build-up to the FA Cup final between Manchester City and Manchester United. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now, Arsenal didn't manage to win the Premier League this past season, but they did come close, finishing second, 5 points behind Manchester City. They were knocked out at the last 16 stage in the Europa League by Sporting. They were knocked out in the earlier stages of both domestic cup competitions. 11 of 14 FC pundits predicted Arsenal to finish outside the top four. No names mentioned.
How dare they?
And there are some notable returning loanees as well. Balogun, Pepe and Nuno Tavares, all of them have been playing in league. And Ian Dark is still with us, but let me start with Kieran. As a former Arsenal player, how would you grade their season?
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. I feel like I think Mikel summed it up in his speech at the Emirates at the end of the season. He said that the soul of the club has been reconnected, and I think that he's nailed it with that. The fans are back to life. The Emirates is back to life. I think you have to give all the credit to him, but also as well to the board for sticking by him, because, you know, it was he rode an early storm. And he's come out the other end, and everyone's starting to see what he's all about now. So I think they're 3 or 4 signings away, you know, next season from really challenging on all fronts. There's a few learning curves that he would have had this season, which he had to go through because it's his first time. I think that over the last 3-4 years since he's been in charge, the team has kind of picked itself. And I think that this is the first season that he's really had some decisions to make. And so this would have been his big learning curve. And I think he'll really come on leaps and bounds from this.
You agree, Stevie?
Yes and no. I think yes. Common sense would tell you that when you go through things, you learn from them. And he seemed like a smart guy. But you know what? At the end of the day, coaches don't win games of football, it's players. And I think the biggest test Arsenal have is, yes, in order to maybe take that next step, they do need three or four major signings. But I think the biggest test is the group of players he has, can they step up and produce for another, 10 games, the way they did for the first, say, 29? I think that's the question. You know, Is Martinelli going to score 15 goals again next season? Is Saka going to score 14 goals next season? Because I don't think Jesus is going to be your all-out goal-scoring centre-forward. So, Odegaard, does he score another? What did he get, 15 as well? So, I think some of the big questions are not who are they going to add and all that kind of stuff. Is, right, the starting point is you have to do it again and then some. That's always the toughest question. Second time around, it's a lot harder.
Just start the drop-off at the end, though. How much do you think the William Saliba injury really did change things for us?
Clearly. You just have to look at these statistics to point out how big a miss he was. And so, to Steve's point, I think the bigger concern is the depth of the squad. Obviously, this season, playing Champions League as well, and that proved a real test, particularly later on in the season, even though I know they got knocked out earlier in the calendar year in Europa League. But that proves the bigger test. I think the only question, to Steve's point, the only question around some of those players is that they're young players. And that there is an inconsistency that comes with young players. But there's nothing from the likes of that we saw from Odegaard, from Gabriel Jesus, that suggests to me that there's going to be a drop-off next season. I like everything that Arteta has continued to do at Arsenal Football Club. I think this year, in terms of the signings, it becomes easier because this time last year, he's trying to sell to prospective signings that we won't be playing Champions League football. We are going in the right direction. I am going to be here as manager, which this time last year wasn't that certain. Now, you know who he is. You know he's going to be there at the very least for the next few seasons. You know what competitions, and you're playing in the biggest competitions in European football. I think that becomes easier in terms of getting players on board. And so I expect this transfer window to be even more successful. I expect Arsenal to be even better. The trouble is, I expect the same of quite a few other clubs in the league.
So with that in mind, Ian, how much strengthening does he need in this Arsenal side?
Yeah, they didn't have enough squad depth and it just caught up with them, I think, at the end. They ran out of gas. But, of course, they're favourites to sign Declan Rice, who's going to cost maybe over £100 million in the transfer market. But they seem to be most advanced. I know Manchester United are in and probably a couple of other clubs like Bayern Munich as well. So I think Arsenal will strengthen. I think they've got the money to strengthen. I think we owe them a big, big debt of thanks, actually. Nobody thought Arsenal would be contending for the title. They were until very late in the season when, the Saliba injury and one or two other things. I think they just got a bit emotionally spent as well. But 84 points, that is fantastic. They played some great football as well. And 84 points would have won a few Premier League titles, I can tell you. They're only 5 points behind Manchester City. That's some going. So, well done the Gunners. That's what I say.
Are there any names that are attainable that you would like to see going to Arsenal, Kieran?
Caicedo is the first name that springs to mind for me. I think he is a dynamic player that will fit in like a glove to the team.
And you'd have him ahead of Declan Rice?
I think I would, purely because I just think he's got that extra, he's got that something extra. You know, he can also go past the player. And I think that he reminds me of similar to when we had Alex Song, I think with even more energy, and he can just cover so much ground. That's the biggest thing in that position now. If you don't cover ground, you're going to get found out unless you are like at the highest level technically. And he's got everything. So he would be my first target.
They need some more defenders too?
They need a centre-half. They need a centre-half. I think that that will help. But I also think that I like the idea of, you know, another full-back, but I think on the other side, because I think a lot of people keep saying that Tierney doesn't match the way that Arteta wants to play. But I think that if you go and get someone on the other side that can play like that, then you can play Zinny in some games and then use another fullback similar in other games. So I think that he would be better off going for like a Cancelo, that type of profile. And then you need another striker. You need another out-and-out striker. And Ivan Toney, I think that that suits well, even though he's got his ban. And someone to challenge Saka. I think someone to challenge Saka, give him that competition that he needs. He's just not going to be able to perform at that level every 3 days in the Champions League, week in, week out. It's just not going to be doable for him. He's proven that he can play at this level physically, and he's played so many games already, but you just don't want that demand on him for such a young age. You want longevity out of him, and I think that also competition will be healthy for him as well. So they're the four I would want.
It was a great season for Bukayo Saka overall, yep. Though, Stevie, wasn't it?
Fantastic. I mean, as I said, the biggest problem was can he replicate it, because what he did was world class. And so now, the tough bit is, you don't get any prizes for doing it 1 year. Not now. Not now you've got a reputation as the brightest and one of the best players in English football, not just at Arsenal. So he has to produce again. Listen, there's no reason why he can't. He seems as though mentally he's strong. Listen, anyone that misses a penalty in it, but the Euro final and comes back and produces what he does, it tells you that he can face adversity. Mm-hmm. So I don't see any reason why he can't. But as I said, it's not about me saying he can do it. He's got to do it. I think he will, but he has to do it.
We were talking about breakout players in the Premier League, and obviously there are some players that have been around and then they've just had a standout season. Were you surprised with what you saw from Martin Odegaard in terms of that?
I guess yes or no. I think Odegaard has shown he's an incredible talent, and how bright he is. I just thought he was a whole lot better than I thought he would or could be for Arsenal. I think one of the things I like most about Odegaard is we are talking about a young player at a big club with huge expectation that has just emerged as a leader that the club needed, a leader that you don't often see from a player of that age. And this is a young player playing in a midfield with somebody like a Thomas Partey. To start the season, I would have said Thomas Partey is the one who's going to kind of get this team around him and lead by example. He's going to be the leader that Arsenal so desperately needed. Yet it was Odegaard who stepped up in terms of leadership, in terms of goals. So he's exceeded, I think he's exceeded expectation from a lot of people, myself in particular, in ways that I didn't expect.
Talk about exceeding expectations. Granit Xhaka, a bit of a troubled history at the club, but he really did step up this season. What's he like as a character?
Oh, he's just as honest as it gets. And he shows that in his performances. An honest player, he will cover positions. He'll do anything to help the team. And I think he's going to be a big miss. I think he's going to be a really big miss. He's really come into his own this season. I felt like he feels that, you know, Arsenal is part of his blood, his family. And you need that in the club. I'm sure there's obviously others as well, but he's going to be a big miss. I think, you know, tactically as well, he can be used as a fullback. And so sometimes when, you know, it gets to the last 20 minutes and you may need to bring on another offensive midfielder, we've seen that before. And being left-footed, I think, is a huge advantage. So I think it's underrated if you know, the club do lose him this season, which I think
is... Is it a player that they should be doing their best to keep hold of, though?
I mean, I would keep hold of him for one more season. At least, even if he's not going to play, you know, even if he's going to play a bit part, I would keep hold of him for one more season. No,
I would keep him for that reason. I think they need two in the middle. And I'll be honest, I don't think Partey impressed Mikel Arteta at the end of the season. not only did he look a little, his confidence sort of drained, but to try and take another step forward, I don't think right now, after what he did at the end of the year, you can trust him. So not only do they need Caicedo, which I agree 100%, in fact, I love him at Liverpool, but they could do with Declan Rice and Caicedo. I think absolutely they need two in there, along with what they've got.
Ian Duck, what were you shaking your head at?
Now, I was just thinking there that, Moises Caicedo would be a wonderful signing. I think Xhaka, I think that's a done deal, isn't it? He's going to buy a Leverkusen. I think he has played his last game for Arsenal. So that will look a new-look midfield, that central midfield, probably with Declan Rice from everything we're hearing, though that'll be interesting to see how that saga plays out. But, you know, Arsenal will need to strengthen, won't they, big time, because they've got the Champions League commitment, and next season it's going to be a stronger Liverpool, surely, a stronger Chelsea as well. Manchester United may step it up, and there'll still be City bossing things as well. So it's a heck of a title race that Arsenal will be contesting next season, if they can get into that race again.
If they can. What do you say, Ian, then, for next season? Where do they finish?
Well, I think it's impossible to make predictions here. I think we have to see the squads as they're assembled in August.
I've never seen somebody dodge a question so well. Goodness me!
You're not allowed to dodge it. Where are they going to finish?
But let me just say that I'm allowed a free hit. As one of the only three pundits who said Arsenal would finish top four, I'm allowed a free hit here. I see Arsenal finishing third.
Third?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I have nothing else to add to that.
Okay.
I'm trying to move on as quickly as
you last.
Can get it to.
Kieran.
No, go Stevie first.
Be careful, Stevie. You know what happened $50. This year.
I'm going to play the fifth. Well, Darkie played the fifth. And it was you let him off.
Don't be losing your money again.
What? Sorry?
Just give us a number and be nice.
Fifth.
He's going with fifth.
Should we put a bet on
it now?
That
number.
Should we put a bet on it now?
I might closer to the season.
All right. What you might change,
odds,
but
though.
Then you might change.
I
your
want
mind.
Some odds though.
No, with the fifth
a one
now.
To one.
Don't start
I just
saying
said I'm thinking about.
Oh yeah. I thought you might be.
Not commit.
No, Kieran.
Kieran.
Don't let Kieran get away.
Former
so easily.
Arsenal player.
Don't,
Kieran
yeah. Don't let him get away so easily.
Do you know what? I think if this is going to sound funny, but I think if Gundogan leaves City this season, I think Arsenal win it.
Me? Oh.
I think Arsenal win
You think Arsenal are going to win the title next season?
Yeah.
There you go, you heard it here
I could
first.
Get me $50 back.
Next yeah, season
go on, Stevie, go
is
on, go on,
the season.
Arsenal will not win the title if Gundogan leaves Man City.
Well, there you go. You heard it first. Arsenal to win the title next season, and Stevie did go in on that bet as well. We thank Ian Dark so much for being with us. Make sure to check out the latest edition of Extra Time. Kieran, Stevie and Xhaka are answering your questions today. You can always keep up to date with it on our YouTube channel. Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Pokal final hitting the calendar this weekend. Leipzig taking on Eintracht Frankfurt. And it's another chance to see some of the Bundesliga's brightest stars like Christopher Nkunku and Randall Kolo Muani. It's also another chance to hear Derek Ray on the call. He's with us now here on ESPN FC. Great to have you with us, Derek. What a final this is set to be.
Hi, Kate. Great to be with you. And yes, it's an intriguing final. Leipzig, of course, trying to win it again, their first major trophy secured last season when they beat Freiburg at the Berliner Olympiastadion. Eintracht Frankfurt, cup specialists. We saw what they did in the Europa League last season to book for themselves a Champions League place. And only two teams have won the Pokal more often than Frankfurt down the years, those two sides being Bayern and Werder Bremen. Frankfurt victorious against Bayern in the final in 2018. And we've also got, and I'll hold this up to the camera, hopefully you can see it, das Duell der Superstürmer, the duel of the super strikers. And of course, we're talking about Randall Kolo Muani and Christopher Nkunku. Nkunku's last game, maybe the same for Kolo Muani. So a lot to like about this final if you're a neutral.
Tell us what's the latest then, Derek. You mentioned it on the future of Christopher Nkunku.
Well, I think with Christopher Nkunku, he's the kind of player who is very unpredictable. He was out, of course, for a while. Leipzig were missing his prowess for a good part of the important phase of the season. And you do wonder, actually, had he been there, maybe Leipzig could have made a better run at the Bundesliga title itself. But he was out. He's come back towards the end of the campaign. Ended up as joint top scorer in the Bundesliga. The Torjägerkanone shared between him and Niklas Füllkrug. And so it's a question of how you stop him. And he's not easy to stop, quite honestly. He's different in comparison with Kolo Muani. He won't necessarily come from deeper positions and make those timely runs, but he's just got such an array of skills that he can be very difficult to defend against. And Frankfurt, of course, will have done their homework, and I'll be interested to see if it's a back four or a back three. It's usually a back three preferred by Oliver Glasner, but I won't be too shocked if it's a four on this occasion.
If Nkunku is to go to Chelsea, Derek, and play under Mauricio Pochettino, how do you see him fitting in there?
Well, I think he's the kind of player who can fit in with any club. Obviously, Chelsea have their way of playing, which is not the same as Leipzig's way of playing. But you can use him as a centre forward. You could use him off the front. You could use him wide if you had to. He's just one of these players who you would anticipate being a good fit. Now, Chelsea and the current guys, of course, you know, have had the problems, and maybe he's not going to get the chances that he gets playing for Leipzig. And they've developed a system that really is suited very well to Christopher Nkunku. But, you know, we've known for a while this is going to be the move that he'll make, and he'll certainly want to go out on a high before that shift to life in London.
So, will you give us a prediction for the final, Derek, or not?
Well, I don't really like to make predictions on games that I'm commentating on, Kay. But what I will say is I think this might go the distance. I wouldn't be shocked if it goes to extra time as it did last season. Leipzig did it the hard way, of course, down to 10 men for much of that final with Marcel Halstenberg sent off. So I'm going to say this will go all the way to extra time and penalties, and then it's a toss of the coin.
I understand that, Derek. Obviously, being on the call, it's always a difficult one. If we can, though, let's move on to talk a little bit about Bayern. Reports are that Karl-Heinz Rummenigge is back in on the supervisory board. What is this, the old guard coming in to fix all the problems?
Well, to an extent, Kay, I think that is the case. Yes, Bayern have said goodbye to Oliver Kahn and Hasan Salihamidžić, who were the two characters in this drama, if you like, who made the big decision to let Julian Nagelsmann go and to bring in Thomas Tuchel. And Bayern got away with it. Maybe they didn't, because, of course, their Champions League push ended. OK, Manchester City can do that to any side. They didn't go as far as they wanted to in the Pokal, but they did win the Bundesliga. But that decision had been taken. Karl-Heinz Rummenigge back on the supervisory board, and he is going to have an influence. He's not there just to, you know, say the odd sentence here or there. They want his contacts, they want his influence, and the new strong figure, if you like, is Jan-Christian Dresen, who was the financial CEO. He is now going to be the CEO. But the jury is still out on who the sporting director is going to be, the chief of sport for Bayern. And word today that Stefan Reuter of Augsburg is maybe part of the conversation there. That would be a safer pair of hands rather than somebody who's younger and dynamic, but somebody who does have very good contacts. We were talking about Leipzig there. The man who Bayern, I think, would really love to get is Max Eberl, who's the head of sport for Leipzig, but he's only been there for a short time, and I'm not sure they could really prize him away. But it's always something to watch at Bayern. There's always something happening off the pitch. This is a very tense period, and we shouldn't downplay the influence of Karl-Heinz Rummenigge once again.
Absolutely not. But right now, the focus will remain on Leipzig and Frankfurt in the Pokal final. Make sure to catch Derek tomorrow on the call. Thank you so much for being with us, Derek Ray. We'll be on the call. We'll have full coverage and a full preview for you as well tomorrow, 1:30 Eastern on ESPNU and ESPN+. It is a massive weekend of cup action this weekend on ESPN+. We even have the Scottish Cup final between Celtic and Inverness. I wonder if either of these teams will be making Shaka's power rankings.
No, they won't.
Week.
What a power rankings it is. End of season, so a lot of who won their league, who's in cup finals, gets an honourable mention at this point. I think City have continued to show themselves as best in European football. Napoli, the darlings of this season, Inter in a cup final. Barca, Bayern just edged there, couldn't they? I still don't know how Bayern are in there, but okay, they win the Bundesliga.
I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, yeah. It feels weird. Anyway, PSG, Lens are still in.
Lens.
They finished second, but put together an incredible run back end of the season. And then Sevilla are rewarded for beating Roma on penalties in the Europa League final. So they're in. Other than that, it's as you would expect.
So have you got Arsenal in here because Kieran's here?
No, I think...
Because there's no reason for Arsenal to be in there.
Arsenal were good all season long. So now I'm at a stage
where... Hold on a minute.
Robin took Bayern to the final day.
Hold on, that's what I was just...
Bayern's been rotten all season.
That's what I was about to say. I think Arsenal... this power rankings, given that we're the end of the domestic seasons, I take the majority of the season into perspective here. And I think Arsenal
deserve you're changing
mention.
The rules then?
Way to kick Dortmund when they're down. They took it to the final day. Munich and you've dropped them out altogether, but Arsenal are in.
That was personal. Dortmund personal. Dortmund had the league to win and threw it away.
By the way, not only...
Did
you put Arsenal in, you put them in seventh. How can they be ahead of Feyenoord, who won the league?
Because
it's the Eredivisie. Number seven.
Because it's the Eredivisie.
Oh, you try to say it's not very good.
That's right. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, that's a bit harsh.
Do you like the power rankings, Kieran? Do you like the idea?
He was saying
like
to me beforehand, he loves it.
I like it. I'm going to get him.
That's why I put Arsenal in. Because they went in before, and then Kieran showed up and said, oh, this is good stuff. And I was like, I'll put Arsenal in. That's how it works.
What about Shaka's picture?
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Cool, Stevie. It's not bad, that, is it?
Tell you what.
How old were you there?
This was last week.
somebody's got a camera and taking a picture, and then you know the way the thingy at the day. What do you call it?
Oh, no, you go ahead. Go ahead, say it.
You know when you what do you
go
call
ahead,
it?
Say it. Say it. No, go ahead, say it.
I can't even remember the name of it. What is it called?
How does it go?
What would they fix it?
Photoshop?
Photoshop.
Filter.
A filter.
Just
don't worry, I'll help. I'll help.
Just say anything. Just say anything.
Get him up to speed.
It's been filtered.
It's been filtered.
Aye.
Anyway, this is...
Moving on.
This is La Liga. This weekend, the final weekend as well. This is what's at stake. Not much, really. But at the bottom, there is the battle. Real Madrid taking
That's
on Athletic on
it.
Sunday.
Yeah, not a lot happening this weekend.
Don't bother.
What is happening is a chance to make it into Shaka's power rankings.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
That's what all these teams will be playing for this weekend. We have every single game on ESPN+, in English and in Spanish. Wait, listen, stick around for extra time because we're about to bring you the double act you never knew you needed. That's next here on FC. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. We have Kieran, we have Stevie, we have Shaka. Stevie's actually been fuming with me today because Kieran asked where Dan's seat was. Could he go and sit in it while he
came upstairs
in the office?
I can't believe she showed you where his seat was. I cannot believe you never sent him away over the other way.
He was so mad because Stevie sits really close to me. When I said, oh, he sits just over there, he went...
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Don't stand up in the right place.
Very, very annoyed at me. Anyway. Yeah. See, look after you, Kieran. Not like these
I know where are. Stevie sits now, so I can nick his Kit Kats from the drawer.
Yes. There are those. There
just
are those.
Don't tell Burley. Just don't tell Craig Burley.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Hope he's not watching.
Craig has a side
on to that.
Yeah, he's had to hide his chocolate from Craig, and he did so again today. I got some. All right, dear panel, did you have rituals before an FA Cup final, or did you treat it as pretty much a regular away game? P.S. Kieran, would Arsenal stay at home or spend the night at home instead and meet at the training ground game day? All right, so we'll answer the second part of that first.
What was the second part?
Was
whether we stayed at home?
Yes.
No, we stayed at a hotel right next to Wembley. Right next to Wembley, so it was literally a couple of minutes. Right. Which was funny because then you'd get on the bus and it would still take like 20 minutes to get in.
To get
there's
there.
Just so many people around.
That's funny, yeah, because Frank was talking about that, sneaking back to his own bed when the team hotel was close enough to his house because he
really?
Needed his own bed.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. He said it was 10 yards away though.
I know, London is massive obviously. So listen, did you treat it as a regular away game?
Absolutely, aye.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, changed nothing. Just try and treat it as every other away game, including staying in a garbage hotel. The hotel in Watford Gap. It was about as basic as you can get. And you're watching all the... Of course, back then, it was like a day event. So it was on 24/7 on the TV. So they would go to the hotel in the mornings on all the cameras, and the thing would just last all day. And we'd be looking, whoever we were playing would be in the big fancy one in London, big posh hotel and everything. We were in the Watford Gap. You could hear the cars going by in the motorway. Really, what's going on here? But just the same as normal.
But it did the trick.
Did the trick,
yeah. What about you, Kieran? I bet it changed a bit since you were playing, what the hotels looked like compared to where Stevie was staying.
Yeah, no, they were... I mean, I remember being just as a young kid at 17... in the first ever travel away game and just being blown away by just being in a hotel.
By the way, can we take that camera shot back? Look at that, look at me, look at that.
Why are you so high?
Towering over him, Stevie.
Hold on, excuse me, how old are you?
You know what, there's been too much tonight. I think we need Fullbacks United show with these two. You want to do it, Stevie? Don't leave him hanging. He didn't want to raise his chair up, you did, and that's what happened.
Well,
you could have gone with him and stayed low.
You know what I mean?
Checker.
He'll learn.
Hotels, night before. Regular away game as well.
I think... The FA Cup final we played with, I was on the bench for with Newcastle. I think we came down to London early, so we spent a day or two, which is not what, was not what we would do for a regular away game. And then similarly with West Ham in 06, because that final was in Cardiff, we went. I feel as though we went down a day or two early again, and trained there maybe the day before the stadium or just the day before the game and just had a light session. So not strictly as you would, or certainly as we did, around a regular weekend.
Well, you now know that all the Liverpool players would have been staying in a garbage hotel.
Well, that's what we should have done. That's where we went wrong.
That's what worked for them.
Yeah, garbage is the wrong word.
No, too late now.
Average.
Too late now. Don't try to backtrack.
Yeah. Would...
Yeah.
Can you imagine Stevie as a diva? What? We've had him as an influencer. All right. Okay, you can come back, Kieran. All right, would Kane have scored more goals than Haaland if he was in the Man City team this season?
That's a tough one.
I'm going to go for no.
I mean, he's only scored.
I straight up my answer is no. I think Erling Haaland is a better player than Harry Kane.
Shaq, he's only scored six less, is it?
Yeah.
He's only scored six less
for
goals.
Spurs.
For Spurs.
Okay. That doesn't change my answer at all.
OK. Well, let's switch it around. How many goals does Haaland score playing for Spurs?
Oh, I don't know how anybody scores goals for Spurs.
Oh, exactly.
All I'm saying is, if I'm picking a team right now, I'm picking Erling Haaland over Harry Kane.
Yeah, sure, man.
Right, OK. So therefore, in my opinion, you put both of them in that City team, I think Erling Haaland scores more goals.
I'm going to go Haaland as well.
Yeah, I don't think you can turn around and say, yes, Kane would score more goals.
No, yeah.
I think the thing that hits you straight in the face is, hold on a minute, it's only six more than Kane got, and he's playing for Spurs. That's...
I mean, that's remarkable. From
isn't it?
That is...
Mental.
And it's... which is better, losing a final 5-0 or losing on penalties? Oh, which is better?
Oh, you'd rather...
Rather than penalties.
Aye.
You don't want to get embarrassed.
5-0? No, thanks.
No, losing on penalties.
Losing on penalties. All right. Stevie, who are most comfortable facing in a duel, or who are you most comfortable facing in a duel? A striker with pace, a striker with dribbling skills, or a striker with physicality?
Physicality. Well, because you can outplay them by using your brain. You don't need to fight them. I mean, if you're playing a guy with pace, then you've got more questions to answer. Do I step off? Do I stick up tight? And if you stick up too tight and you misjudge it, then you're done. Whereas if you're just playing against a big, strong guy, you can outplay him.
I think that also depends on the defender. You know, Stevie's a big, strapping man. You look at Kieran, who's a little tiny specimen of a wing-back. Clearly, you compare those two. Stevie would prefer physicality over Kieran, where Kieran wouldn't.
Hold on.
Wait, let me pop it.
Stevie's a big strapping man.
Hold on a minute.
Stress on the big.
I don't think it's that big of a shot.
What did you say, Stevie? What did you say? Physicality.
What are you going for, Kieran?
I'm going to go pace.
See, I told you he wouldn't like physicality. I told you.
Well, he's a wee strapper.
All right. Shaka, what is the most memorable moment on the show from this season?
Oh, there's only one that will live forever. That fish. Fish chasing Jan down. That was the final stretch. Jan could not run a fish.
I don't think Kieran will have seen it. So Jan
got
involved in this race.
Oh, here it is. Look,
he's at the bottom of the
plane,
right?
Look.
Jan Agapiotov.
Oh, first of all, it's a false start. And then there's a fish.
Look. Jan's going backwards. I mean, he's only just beaten the fish.
Let me tell you something. If that race was 20 metres more, the fish would have passed him. No. Hey! For those who didn't see it, that's exactly what it looked like.
Faster than you.
Oh, goodness me. Let me tell you. That will live forever. That will always be funny.
Never not funny. Two, that they have it ready every time.
Every single time.
That's about it.
Is there a
All right,
button?
So that was the most memorable moment. OK, is there a City United combined 11? Would there be a place for Bruno Fernandes in it, the middle of the park, in the combined 11? Would he make it?
Not so sure, you know.
Not much.
No. Who's there for De Bruyne?
Who are you getting rid of?
Yeah.
De Bruyne?
Is there anybody in the United team in the combined 11 over the City players?
Varane, if you play three at the back, maybe.
Over who?
Walker.
Taking away wing backs and going three at the back.
I'm trying to figure out if you played three at the back, if you could play Varane instead of Walker. Because they've got Stones in the middle, and on the show, they showed City with three at the back.
Right.
They had Akanji, Diaz, and Walker. So could you take Walker out and play Varane?
Rashford, Grealish.
Rashford.
No.
Finish.
No. Maybe.
But no, Bruno.
I'd have.
No.
I'd go Rashford over Grealish. I'd do that.
It's the only one I can think of.
To all, who gets a Premier League manager job first? Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, or Graham Potter?
Potter. Easy.
Does Casemiro get into that combined 11, by the way?
No, Rodri. You play Rodri, won't you?
Yeah. I'm not so
sure. Well, or what you're looking for in it as well. If you look at every quality they bring, then maybe, right?
I'm thinking Casemiro.
Over Rodri?
Yeah.
No, no, not for me.
A million years.
No.
And a million years. That's a lot of years,
so
right
one,
there.
Potentially one in it for you? In that combined 11?
No. Yep.
Tough school, man. But, well, sorry, I know we moved on.
Yeah, we did move on. And two of you answered Graham Potter. To all, who gets a Premier League manager? Yeah. Frank Lampard, Steven Gerrard, Graham Potter?
Oh, yeah.
OK. Guys, do you have any regrets when you look back on your playing career? Let me start with you, Kieran.
No.
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 Love it. No regrets. Stevie?
No.
No. Chaka?
No.
No.
Good.
Either good or bad.
Okay.
Wonderfully stated, Stevie.
Thank you, Chaka.
Nice, Stevie.
Thank you. Did you change anything in your career?
No.
Have you said anything silly on stage?
No.
Comparing.
I've done a few silly things.
The Ballon d'Or?
No, not there, I didn't.
No.
That's why they asked me back for a second. All right, between Chelsea and Arsenal, which club will win the first? Which will win the Premier League first? It's a silly question,
well,
for Kieran.
Kieran, well, yeah, well, Kieran already said that Arsenal are winning next season, so go. We know his answer.
He said Chelsea, what?
Chelsea? Don't do it, Stevie.
What do you think?
You know what? I don't know, to be honest.
I don't know.
Yeah. Go to Stephen first.
All right, Stephen.
I would go Arsenal before Chelsea. Chelsea's in a bit of a shambles.
No question, Arsenal are a better position right now. But we're talking about both these clubs getting their house in order, more to the point, Chelsea getting their house in order, at a time where City just falls off. And the trouble is, I just don't see City falling off the cliff right now. So that gives Chelsea a lot of time to make up the ground.
But this is not Abramovich Chelsea. This is a completely different ballgame. We don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. Arsenal.
Look at the state of United. United have spent, in the last 10 years, El Stato, United have spent more money than Man City on players in the last 10 years. So just because Bowley and Chelsea go and spend loads of dough, doesn't mean they're going to win the league like they used to under Abramovich. Okay. I'm going with you boys, Arsenal.
Okay, there you go. That's it. That's all the questions that we do have tonight. Thanks so much for sending them in. We've had a ball today on Extra Time. We'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again.